Isaiah. We thank God for those words. And thank God for the choir also that gave us those good numbers. We thank God for everyone being here tonight. And good to see you getting excited about the Word, about the Word of God. David said, I was glad when they say, unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And you get excited and let that word take a hold of your life. And Jeremiah said, thy words were found. And I did heed them. And the word of God became the joy and the rejoicing of his heart. And you let this word get inside of you. Meditate. Not just read a verse of scripture and you're gone, but spend time with the Lord, spend time with the Bible, spend time with the word of God. See, you spend time with the Lord. And you will find that God is awesome. God will bless you. And God will help you. We're studying the times of the Gentile dispensation. They also including in their predestination. The scripture, there's a scripture that says in Acts that known unto God are all his works. You know that chapter? We had that chapter many times. Known unto God are all his works. Chapter? In chapter 15, verse 18, the chapter 15, verse 18 of the book of Acts says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world or from the foundation of the world. God knows what he's doing and his program, and everything is right on time. Nothing is not happening that God doesn't know about, or it's in the divine plan, program of God. God knows what he's doing. So in other words, we're not here by accident. Even tonight, we're not here by accident. We're here in the divine will of God. We've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we need to study and understand and to know the will of God, the mind of God for our lives. This Bible is not going away. Whether you put it away, whether you study it, whether you believe it or not, it's not going anywhere. The word of God abideth forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word. So you're not going to get rid of the Bible, or whether you believe it or not, or whether you read it or not, doesn't mean it's going to go away. I am the Lord, I change not. And God's word and his work does not depend upon our believing it. Because whether we believe him or not, he's still God. Amen. Whether you serve him or not, whether you go to church, he's still God. God is not God because we serve him. He's God because he's God. And nobody can change that. He is God. And he has been here from everlasting. And he will still be here to another everlasting and many everlasting. Whatever everlasting is. But he's not going away. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Yes. So it's awesome to know that God knows what he's doing. Known unto God are all his works. Mm-hmm. Even before God begin to work or finish his creation, he already knew. The kingdom that's coming, he already know. He predestinated. That's what he does. You read it. He tells us of things and events that has not yet taken place. But he's telling us that the Gentiles are going to have or is having a period of time where the door of hope, the door of faith, the door of salvation is open unto the Gentiles. Amen. We've had that scripture where it says, then at God, given, is it the Acts, the also in Acts, the I think that's in the 11th chapter where God opened up the door of faith to the Gentiles. Then at God also grant given repentance unto the Gentiles. God. In Acts 11, look at these scriptures. Isn't that powerful? Acts 11, verse 18 says, When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then at God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That's everlasting life. And in Ephesians, chapter 2 tells us that we were sometimes darkness, right? In the second chapter, if you look that of Ephesians, we were sometimes darkness, but now are we light in the Lord. In chapter 2 of the grace of God reached down for us, and you hath he quickened. We were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past we walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit. You see, there's a spirit, satanic spirit, that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were one time that. That's us. We can find ourselves right there. We had that nature. We were born with the human fallen nature, depraved nature. Among whom also we all had our conversation. That's the lifestyle. Conversation. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Look at us right there. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. That's a lot right there. And of the mind. Then it continued. Notice how it continues saying more. More bad stuff. Describing us. Look at how it's describing you and I, all of us. And here it's telling us, because God knows us. We don't know ourselves. We if we were writing something about us, we put all the good stuff. And we're not as bad as that guy over there. But God just put everything right there. And he says that, verse 3, is it? Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh. Fulfilling. Notice that word fulfilling. We're doing it. I mean fulfilling it. All right? We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So something come in your mind, boy, I got to do that. The flesh, there's no resistance, man. And we make excuse. God knows that we're only human. But look at how God describing us and telling us who we are. And we were We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Others who? You fill in the blanks. I mean, even as others. We were like them. But God. The difference is not you. The difference is not me. The difference is not because I see myself. And because I have free will, I lift myself up. And went to God. That's not so. It's all God. It's all God. But God. Yeah. Who is rich in mercy, grace, mercy, truth. His mercy is new every morning. So every morning you need to collect those mercies, the mercies of God. I like this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Ooh. Oh, amen. He didn't love you when you were good. He didn't love you when you got free out of this condition that you were in, or we were born in the nature. That's not when. I mean, he didn't love you after you got saved. Came to an altar, accept Jesus, then God start loving you. That's not so. He loved you before the foundation of the world. He loved you with an everlasting love. But God, who is rich in mercy, for no one can describe this. For his great love wherewith he, God, loved us, even when we were dead in sins, dead in sins, had quickened us. That means he raised us up out of sin. He had quickened us together with Christ. By grace. The grace of God. Not by law keeping. Somebody said, but you have to keep the law. Well, nobody could keep it. Israel could not do it. How much more the Gentiles? And the newly converted Gentiles find the Judaizing elements, those that have the circumcision, was trying to put them under the bondage of the law. But the apostles had to straighten this out and show them, the Gentiles, what they had to do. And they couldn't keep it. Israel, the Jews could not keep it. 1,500 years, the Gentiles couldn't keep it. Because it takes the grace of God. Amen. Now, the grace of God is not a license to sin. It doesn't give you permission to sin. What the grace of God does is that help us in our fallen state. What you and I cannot do, God does it for us. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when you were dead. You didn't raise yourself up, and it was God that raised us up. He says that he quickens us when we were dead in trespasses and sin. Said, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us, notice there, together. Hallelujah. Together with Christ. He didn't quicken Christ first. And 2,000 years after, when you come to an altar, he quickens you. No. The work was done.
Hallelujah.
At the same time.
Hallelujah.
When God quickens Christ. And he raised us up, we words of meaning, together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We need to give God credit. Give him for his great love, and give him credit for the great work that he has done. For his mercy is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. It's all about God. And we are to accept the work of God, the sacrifice that God has made in sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price. And God is totally satisfied. Not because of our righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ, the price he paid. It says, and there's a reason why God did all of this. See, he didn't just do that for nothing. He's a purpose. Known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. God knows what he's doing. God has a plan. God has a program. And here it explains it in verse 7. That in the ages to come. So right there tells us God didn't just quicken us and raise us up for a short while. This is forever. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. In other words, God can never die. God lives forever. And he gives life to his children through his son Jesus Christ. Everlasting life. That means we will live forever with God. That's true. When God quickens us and raises us up out of sin, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That, we're getting into the mind of God now. God is revealing his mind to us. God is showing us his purpose. That, you know, you get married or whatever, but it's, until death, you part. So that's a short time. There's no guarantee. It's not permanent. The only permanent thing is eternal life.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ. But notice here now that. If you could get that, you'll never struggle anymore. But you might be maybe not listening. You're not getting it. You got all kind of stuff in your mind. That God has to get it out. And only the word of God. Because you're not stable. You're not stable. That. Here's a purpose. Anybody ever tell you why? They tell you. And you think that just to go. Have a mansion upstairs. And walk on golden streets. And you get all excited over that. That's not why you were created. There it is. Now if you don't know. And nobody's teaching you. Oh, you go to school, right? And they're not teaching you anything. But you go to school. See, sooner or later you're going to wake up that I'm not learning anything. I'm not knowing the purpose why I was created. Why God quickened me. He quickens you with Christ, together with Christ, that.
Yes.
See, that wasn't just a permanent quick thing that God did. But that's an everlasting program that God has.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
in the ages. Now, how many ages are there? What does ages mean? Eons. World to come. Worlds to come. Ages. Everlastings. Do you get that? That. In the ages. No, notice that. There's an S there. Ages to come. He, God, might show. So we are embarking on a everlasting revelation. That's why God must put a foundation under us. Give us a knowledge right now. And Paul could say to the church at, was it Ephesus? I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. You need to know that. Oh, do what? The whole counsel of God. Amen. Otherwise, you don't know nothing. Amen. You sit and you go to church, but you were not taught. And God's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of his time. In other words, when he come back, he won't be like even the church age. And even that will be the strength of salvation. I mean, you're going to have to know. Believe it or not. Whether you believe it or not, you have to know the word of God. You say, well, God, I'm a favorite. He's no respecter of persons. See, so that in the ages to come, he might show. So if he's going to show it, that means there's so much in the ages that's not yet revealed. So he has to prepare us now where we can... We can contain and endure eternity. That we can endure the revelation of God in the ages to come. Now, if you can't take a little knowledge in church where you stumble over predestination, foreknowledge, election, and you stumble over all these things, what are you going to face eternity? Because the purpose of eternity is that we might know the Lord, that God can pour out himself in us. Amen. When you receive the Holy Spirit, is God giving you the ability to be able to hold onto the things of God. Amen. Yes. God. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. The exceeding riches of his grace. Now, show means he's going to take you into his treasure. The treasures of God. Yes. The hidden secrets. The hidden mystery. Yes. You know, people, you come to church and you hear a little truth and you get all excited. Then you're going to look back and say, oh, that was good, but that was a small. Yes. But what God has to do in the church is slowly introduce us to the light. Amen. Yes. We couldn't just take it. We'd go blind. He has to slowly, through the ministry of the apostles, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teachers, see, begin to unveil, because too much light will make you blind. You cannot look at the natural sun, you'll go blind. You cannot look upon the face of Jesus Christ, you will go blind. You cannot stay in the presence of God. You'll go blind. But as you go from glory to glory, you get how he's like we 6th chapter of Isaiah about the seraphims with at 6 wings with twain, they cover their feet. With twain, they cover their face. Why? Because they couldn't holy, holy, holy. And with twain, they flew, they move around. Okay. But the difference with you and I, we with open face. And we go from glory to glory. So when you come to church, it's take you a step further, closer in God. And when you receive a revelation knowledge, he shows you. He starts showing you already. Not just when you get there. He has to do it right now. And he said, oh my God, that's awesome. And the light goes off. Then another lesson and more light. Until on this side, you could say, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You'll be ready to get over on the other side. So God has a program, and he's going to show throughout all ages, world without end, the exceeding riches of his grace. Notice that word, is grace. See, because grace is not just one-time stuff, and by grace are you saved through faith. Because it's going to take the same grace, where multiplied grace. Amen. We're growing grace. Yes. And as you grow, he begins to reveal to you the exceeding riches of his grace. Hallelujah. In his kindness, yes, towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. You've got to understand. Now, here is when it started out in chapter 2. And begin to tell you the other side. The side, the human side, the natural side. And when God could have kept on describing us. I mean, he didn't run out. He did not run out of words. We're still so much worse than even that. Because he tells you, and you can say, yes, but I'm the chief. I'm worse than that. And anybody that understand would say, yes, Lord, I know that's me. All of that, but I'm even worse than that. Thank you for not revealing all of me. It's terrible. When God show you yourself, it's ugly. You think that, I'm so good, 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 until God show you who you are. And that's what happened to Isaiah. Isaiah was so good. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high, the 6th chapter, and he was high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. So I'm sitting upon the throne. And said above stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. We touched that. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. Somebody said, see, they, Pastor, they have wings. So we're going to have 6 wings. See, there are different orders of creation. Okay, now one of them cried to the other. One cried unto the other. They were communicating. They were worshiping. One cried to the other. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. See, they're different from us at this point. We talk about our problems, about somebody else. They talk about the Lord. And notice, the old earth is full of his glory. The earth, right now, when you look outside how ugly it is. But you've got to understand that we're going through human reign. The devil is the prince of the power of the air, the god, Lil G, of this age, during the Gentile age, which is almost over. We're coming to the close of the Gentile age. And God must help us. Because he said iniquity shall abound. And even the love of many will wax cold. That's why you need a warm church. You cannot stay away from church and remain on fire. You need the church. Because you go cold and you don't even know you're cold. You think you're, well, everybody's picking on you. But they cry and say, the old earth, that's future. The Eden rage, there's war and strife going on right now. The earth is not yet filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Not on this side. There's rage and war. But Jesus is to receive the government as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he received the kingdom, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the water covered the sea. He has 1,000 years reign. Verse 3 says, and one cried unto another, saying, holy, 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 the whole earth is full of his glory. Now, how does he begin? By filling you and I with glory. We've got a head start. We have a head start. Because we go from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit. We have the Holy Ghost leading us right now. Amen. From glory to glory. But after, the whole earth will be filled. But the earth will be filled because of the knowledge. Yes. Hallelujah. It's a knowledge of God in you that fills you up with glory. Amen. Verse 4. And notice how powerful the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, you notice? Woe is me. When you see a glory of God, when God begins to touch you, the first person you see, the first person you pray for is yourself. But if God's not dealing with you, you see everybody's fault beside yours. You become picky, critical. You can't see yourself. It's everybody else is wrong beside you. But when God begins to deal with you, it's not out. And it's not the person next door. You lose that the spirit of the Pharisees. And you take on a humble spirit. And you're going to say, woe is me. For, look at this. For I am not yet completed. I am undone. There's still work that needs to be done in my life. Woe is me. For I am undone. I got to get to church. I need to sit under a ministry. I cannot afford to miss church. I'm undone. And you don't want to meet God with unfinished garment. Because you never stay in the presence of God long enough for him to clothe you in the righteousness of Christ. You had your program. And you were able to dress yourself, you think? I mean, in the righteousness of Christ. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Focus now. I'm undone. Because I'm a man of what? Unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For whenever you see Jesus, mine eyes have seen the King. Ah. The King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah had a revelation of the coming kingdom and the reign of Christ. How he will reign on the earth, and when he reigns, the earth will be filled with his glory. And he saw his condition. And he confessed it. And he cried out, woe is me. I'm undone. See, you got to understand, when Christ came and went by, he gave to the church a ministry for the perfecting, because they're undone. Amen. The church, it's undone. The perfecting of the saints. You can never do it by yourself. But I'd stay home and pray. You could never do it by yourself. But notice. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands. That's the Holy Ghost. I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I am. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, with the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's going to burn up. See, that life coal is to burn up. The process of sanctification. When you receive the Holy Ghost, touch your lips. Where? With stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to these people. When the Holy Ghost touch your lips, it begin to burn out every unclean things in us. The seraphim flew having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the thongs from off of the altar. Verse 8 says, 7. And he laid it on my mouth. See, that's when Jesus went away, sent the Holy Ghost, laid on your mouth, and the Holy Ghost, and they were all filled. That was the fire of the altar.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God. My goodness. You ever begin to use that, you see the joy, because you put it down one side. You don't speak in tongues, you don't pray, you don't do not. You know, you understand how we do it? You come to church, and you go home, and that's it. Put away your Bible, and you live on television. You live on something else. I don't know what you live on, but not the Bible. You don't fill up your house with the Word of God. It's filled up with movies and junk and all that. You know what I'm talking about. Saturday night, you up late and sleep in church, and you drag it Sunday morning. And you're just sitting all alone there, want somebody to be sorry for you. Sorry for what? And then you don't feel good on Sunday. But Saturday you don't get sick on Saturday. Well, you should ask yourself, why don't I get sick on Saturday? But I get sick on Sunday. My goodness. How come you sick when it's church time more often than you do when it's work, or when you're going to go to, you're never sick going on vacation. Oh, goodness. That would be the first miracle if you ever get sick in your life, going on vacation, and you're so sick you have to stay home. But when you come to church, when you come to church, if you get before the mirror, listen to me now, and you see one gray hair, you get sick. You're shocked. If you see a little wrinkle, I can't go to church tonight. I got to straighten my wrinkles out. He laid it upon my mouth. Boy, I wish we let the Holy Ghost do that. And said, lo, this I touch thy lips. Oh my God, I wish tonight somebody would let the Holy Ghost come through and touch your lips. Why, that phone call that you were going to make tonight and tell somebody off, you never do it. He touched my lips and he said, and thine iniquity, notice, is taken away. The Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, the blood applied, purge us. And thy sins purged. The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And I heard, let me go on a little. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? No, wait. And the Lord said to them, you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from an eye. Something's got to touch your lips. The power from an eye. You've got to be purged. There's got to be a daily purging. You get up in the morning and you meditate. You let God wash you and purge you. Here I am, Lord. Who will go? Here I am, Lord. I'll go, but you got to have your lips touched. You got to have your lips purged. Everybody want to go somewhere without a touch from God, without a knowledge? That word's got to get in your mouth. Amen. And that's the problem with the churches today, is that everybody's speaking without being touched. Touch my lips. And you got to stay in the presence of God till you begin to feel that fire burning. And next verse, is it? And he said, go, and tell these people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. This is amazing. Let's go on here quickly. In this, let me stay right here, since I'm here. The hearing, but they're not hearing. It's amazing. They're seeing, but they're not perceiving. Then it goes on, it says, but notice, make the heart of this people fat, and make their hairs heavy, and shut their eyes, lest the light, the God of this world, had blinded the minds of them that believe not. That's Corinthians tells us that. That's Paul got that. I mean, lest the light of the knowledge of the glory of God should shine through, and we would be saved. They would be saved. So here it says, their eyes were closed, their hearing were dull, their heart was heavy and fat. They couldn't understand. They could not understand with their heart, lest they be if they did, they would be converted and be healed from sin. Healed from the fall. Now, you don't want that to happen to you. And it goes on here. Isaiah, The six, is it? Then said I, Lord, how long? Then it goes on now into It's going to go on now it goes on now into prophecy. Okay? It's going to go on now into prophecy. Let me just show you a little. Then said I, Lord, how long? Question. Make their heart fat, their eyes closed, and heavy, and so on. Then the prophet says, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the city be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. There's a prophecy that I'll touch a little, then we'll go in another time more. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Why, they were going to go in captivity. Judah, Israel had gone into captivity. Okay, see, they're still in captivity. But Judah was also going to go into captivity. And then they would come back, but they would go back again after a while. But let go. Said, and yet, but yet. All right, go back to verse 12. And the Lord, it's showing the length of time, and I've removed men far away, that's captivity, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. I mean, this is also going on in our times of Gentiles. Because of their fall. Because of they rejecting their Messiah. How long? Make their eyes blind and dull and fat and all of this. How long, Lord? Until the cities be trodden underfoot. Revelation 11 tells us. The city is going to be trodden. There's going to be a Gentile trodding. Spiritually, the church is going to be trodden under and reach the outer courts. But also, naturally, there'll be wars. Luke and Matthew, we'll get into all those prophecies, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. When the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, Christ return. And Isaiah 6, where he sits upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Yes. My Lord. Amen. Oh my, that's beautiful. Okay, let me go on. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Verse 12. Verse 13. But yet, in it, remember now, in it shall be a tent, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Can anybody explain that to me? Are you know, get up and explain that to me. Are you looking at me like that? Explain it to me. What is he saying? What's going on here? It's prophecy. You see, because he goes on and says, verse 12, go back there quickly. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Okay, now the verse 12. Go down to verse 12.
And the Lord have removed men far away.
And the Lord, verse 13. But yet it ain't. Although God move on, yet in it
shall
be a tent. A tenth. And it shall return and shall be eaten. That means the first Judah went into captivity to Babylon. But after 70 years, they returned. But then, in AD 70 or somewhere before that, they were eaten again. When Titus came. First time they were eaten. And they were eaten like a teal, help me. Like a teal tree. Like to eat vegetables. But some was left. But even the ones that were left, because they would not do the right thing, they were eaten up again. There were twice they were eaten. The Babylonian captivity, they were eaten. And then come by AD 70, they were eaten again. For how long? How long? Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. But although he said, yet in it, God's going to leave a tenth, elect, a chosen. They're going to survive. And it shall return and shall be eaten. That means they went in captivity and come back, and many didn't change. Even the captivity, they came back and they were doing evil. You can read it in Nehemiah, Malachi, all those minor prophets. They did evil. But there were some that was doing right. He says, "Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written for all those that taught on the name of the Lord, and they shall be mine." Some were eaten up by the captivity, but some was not eaten up. Just like how some is eaten up during the Gentile time, those that were not the seed of Abraham, because not all those of Israel are seed of Abraham, but there was an election. That was not eaten up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And even among the Gentiles, there's an election that's called by his name.
Amen.
He has chosen them.
Yes.
And he quickened them out of sin and made us sit together in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he will show the exceeding greatness of his power, when the old earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the water covers the seas. But yet it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree and a hook. You can eat them like vegetables. Hook is type of God's people. Whose substance, notice here, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. So although they were eaten up, and many were eaten up in captivity, but yet God, they ate the teal tree and the oak tree, but there was a people that could not be eaten. There was a people that could not be destroyed because their mind, said the Lord.
Amen.
They couldn't be eaten. They could eat the teal tree, eat up all the vegetables, everything around. But there was an elect whose substance is inside of them. There's a substance in the holy seed. What's that? Christ in you. The hope of glory. The substance is Jesus. The substance is Christ inside of you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? So you don't have to be afraid of the devil, because everything around you might be withering and drying up, but you've got a substance inside of you. You've got something inside of you that cannot be moved. Many will fail, but you stand. I like that. So, let me read again. But yet, in it. I mean, among destruction that's going on, the church not meeting up to the measure, but yet in it. He said, measure the temple, the altar, and those that worship. No matter what we're going through, there's still a people, an elect, that has the substance of God. They have the truth. They have the word of God. That the devil cannot eat them up. But yet it shall be a tenth, and it shall return from captivity. I showed you. And shall be eaten. They went, returned, and they were eaten up now. Second captivity. As a teal tree. And as a hawk. Whose substance is in them. And when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. The church. There's a substance in it. Okay? There's a substance in the church. See, you and I, we have a more enduring substance. In you. Cast down, but not destroy. You're not defeated. Faint, but you're still running. Until they overcame him. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, because there's something inside of you. The cold of fire has touched your lips. Amen. All right. God bless you.